Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air.
A new kind of AI today on Advanced. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me along with my co-host, Garrett, in the studio today. Hey, Garrett.
Hey, Simon, and hello, listeners.
Oh, Garrett, today we're doing newsworthy clips. We're going to be doing it, actually, for the next 3 days.
Yeah, we've been doing this together for quite a few months. It's always a good time.
Do you want to remind any old listeners and maybe inform any new listeners about what newsworthy clips are?
Sure. These aren't, in the end, all that different from a lot of our other lessons, but they are a series of short one-day lessons in which we talk about some topics that are potentially more current in the news, though not necessarily, and through those, we get to learn some great English terms that you might see in these kinds of news articles.
It's not really news, but it could be news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might not be fresh enough. We need some time to prepare.
That is true.
Yeah. Nonetheless, typically newsworthy clips come in three parts, three different lessons. Today, our lesson is called RLTMs, the next LLMs. Now, listeners, if you are in the know and an avid follower or user of AI, you might know what LLMs are. But for those of you who don't, Garrett, what is an LLM?
Well, it is an acronym. It stands for Large Language Model. And with the avid use of so many people using these AI systems over the last few years, a lot of people have just replaced the term by just saying they're using AI, which at times bothers me a little bit because really the use of AI is something that is decades and decades old and describes a lot of different kinds of systems.
If you get right down to it, I suppose an LLM is kind of a way of training an AI, right? It's a source of information that an AI builds upon to, you know, generate its responses or learns from to generate its responses.
Yeah, and it focuses specifically, just like we see in that term, on language, especially written content. So it collects lots and lots of written content from across the internet and other places, and then tries to produce something that is similar based on some prompt.
Now, this is possibly familiar to you listeners. If not, we go over this again in the reading, but we add to it this new term, the LTM. And I think we'll save our explanation of that for the reading because it's really not super familiar to either Garrett or I, and it probably isn't familiar to you. It's kind of a new, different way of approaching the training of AI. So different from an LLM, but with a similar kind of result, a functional AI. Listeners, if you have your magazines, I would encourage you to open them up. This is, of course, August, and we are looking at the newsworthy clips articles. If you have your magazine with you, you can follow along as we do our first reading. If you don't, I would encourage you to get the magazine because it is the easiest way to support us here at Advanced Radio. So if you enjoy learning with us, think about getting a magazine, open it up, and join us as we do our first reading together now.
Newsworthy clips. Update your vocabulary with news clips from around the world. Are LTMs the next LLMs? Large language models, LLMs, have taken the world by storm. But they're only one type of underlying AI model. An under-the-radar company, Fundamental, is set to bring a new type of enterprise AI model to the masses. Large tabular models, or LTMs, which could have an even bigger impact for businesses. What are LTMs? A major difference between LLMs and LTMs is the type of data they're able to synthesize and use. LLMs use unstructured data, text, social media posts, emails, etc. LTMs, on the other hand, can extract information or insights from structured data, which could be contained in tables, for instance. Since many enterprises rely on structured data, often contained in spreadsheets, to run their operations, LTMs could have an immediate use for many organizations.
All right. Thank you so much, Campbell, for that reading. And listeners, if you've enjoyed Campbell's voice, it's my understanding we're going to be hearing him a little more on the radio, maybe this month, but definitely in the coming months. I know I'm looking forward to doing a program with him soon. I'm not sure when that will be on the schedule, but keep listening and you'll have a chance to hear some more of Campbell. We're looking forward to having him join us. Okay. So, Garrett, large language models, this is basically what you said, have taken the world by storm. Now, you didn't say that. You just said
I did not.
AI users typically say AI instead of large language model, which means large language models have taken the world by storm.
Yeah. Actually, when I think of when I was growing up, when we referred to AI, it was often when we were playing video games. Mm-hmm. It was like you were playing against the computer and not another human user. You were playing against the AI.
Yep.
In some ways, it was programmed to respond somewhat like a human player would, but it never would totally.
Yeah.
It was never quite as capable. But these new large language models, or LLMs, are much more capable. They have taken the world by storm. That means they have come onto the scene very quickly. They spread very quickly and have changed things in a big way.
So when you were a kid and you were playing against the AI with the video game, it probably wasn't really an AI. It was just a pre-programmed sort of gameplay thing, maybe a simple early form of AI. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the important thing here is that is also AI. Okay. It just, that term is much more broad than just LLMs that we're using today.
Well, you'll remember when ChatGPT really became kind of open to the public and sort of took the world by storm. I don't remember if it was in a spring or a summer, but it very, very quickly became a major part of our lives, basically our day-to-day lives, right? And so consequently, now when we talk about AI, we're talking about ChatGPT or
that kind
one of the similar kind of platforms. And so our understanding, those platforms like ChatGPT or Grok or Claude are large language models, right? So basically their popularity, the fact that they have taken the world by storm, meaning they've become very popular very quickly, has kind of changed our understanding of the meaning of the term AI.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so as we continue on with that sentence, it says, but they're only one type of underlying AI model. And so another of those types, I suppose, is your video game AI model.
Sure, yeah. I don't know if you'd describe it as an AI model or what,
yeah,
what
the proper term would be for that. Yeah, I'm not sure it was truly AI, but it must have been, you know, because we've had supercomputers playing chess champions.
Yeah, it's in some ways this computer program is responding to stimuli, responding to what is happening without a human going in and telling it what to do.
Mm. Okay, so basically it's only one type of AI, the large language model. That's what they're saying here. But there's this company. It's an under-the-radar company. Now, you have to, I suppose you have to think about like fighter jets in the military to understand this term, right? So radar, of course, it's the way we detect things that are flying through the skies above us, right? You can think about one of those round screens you might see in a movie where there's little dots bleeping to show where they are. If you're flying under the radar, it means you're flying your aircraft so low, so close to the ground that the radar can't detect you. And so this, for many years, this has been a popular part of stories in movies about, you know, fighter planes. I'm thinking Top Gun here, right?
Yeah.
They fly under the radar to get close to their target without being detected. And so when we say an under-the-radar company, what we really mean is a company that nobody has noticed, or that isn't getting a lot of attention as of yet. And so this company that hasn't got a lot of attention, what is it called here?
It's called Fundamental. Based on their name, it sounds like they want to be on the radar for many people.
And very important
parts
of daily life, I suppose. They want to be fundamental to our lives. So this company, Fundamental, it is set to bring a new type of enterprise AI model to the masses. Now, an enterprise AI model, that's different than a consumer AI model, right? What's an enterprise model of something?
Well, presumably it will be something for more corporate use rather than just you and I.
And actually that, as you go on to discover what LTMs are, this makes tons of sense, right?
Yeah.
It's not the sort of thing that a normal person will use with regularity.
I don't plan to use it in my current work.
It might be cool, though.
Yeah.
You know. So, nonetheless, it's an enterprise AI model, meaning it's mainly targeted for corporations, right? But they're bringing it to the masses. The masses means everyone. They're making it available to everyone. Now, if this is an enterprise AI model, I don't think when you bring it to the masses, it means people will necessarily be using it. But it does mean people might be using it in their jobs. Like they're going to bring it to the vast majority of companies. It will become available, as we'll learn, to basically anybody with a large set of data. That's really who it's going to be useful for, right? So bringing something to the masses, it just means making it popularly available to the public. And then they use the term LTM. They spell it out for us. They tell us what it means. What is it?
It is a large tabular model, or an LTM. It could have an even bigger impact for businesses.
Okay, so the LLMs, remember, were large language models. This is a large tabular model, and we're talking about the word tabular there. Basically, when I think of tabular, I actually don't think of the word tabular. I think of the word tabulation.
Okay.
Which is similar to a calculation or adding things up, right? So when you're tabulating something, it means you're basically doing a mathematical calculation on it to figure out what it is.
Now, does that word tabular relate to the word table?
I assume so. Like a data table?
Yeah. Think of like a spreadsheet, like we'll talk about later.
Tabulating things. Tabulating tabular things on tables of data. There you go. So basically, it's driven by data as opposed to language. That would be the idea. And it goes on to tell us which could have an even bigger impact for businesses. So the little note there of importance is that it's going to have an impact for business. Now, as Campbell carried on, he went into the section called What Are LTMs? And they basically explain this by comparing the difference between LLMs and LTMs. So they say a major difference between LLMs and LTMs is the type of data they're able to synthesize and use. Now, when we synthesize data, does it mean we're making data?
I suppose in a way, in a sense. But the idea is we're taking a lot of disparate things, putting them together, and making something new.
Yeah, so we're taking things and turning them into something else, kind of like processing, right? Okay, so they're able to synthesize and use different kinds of data in different ways. So LLMs use unstructured data. And then they explain what unstructured data is after that M dash. What do they say unstructured data is?
All right. This is a lot of different sources they're drawing from, different kinds of data. We have text, we have social media posts, email, etc. So these are not things, not pieces of data or lists of data that are meant to be put together and kind of analyzed for some business purpose, so to speak.
You'll notice that all of these things have one thing in common, language.
Yeah.
Right? So basically in all of these things, people are trying to communicate information or a message using language. And so this is, I mean, you may have heard it said that LLMs, one of the things they do is they predict what the next word will be, right? To put together a sentence. So they look at the way people have used language to describe that sort of topic, and then they restructure what they're going to say using, I guess, statistics to sort of determine what would appropriately be said. Now, that's obviously going to be quite different than some other kinds of data, and that's what they point out here. LTMs, on the other hand, can extract information or insights from structured data. Now, they don't use an M dash here, but they do go on to explain what structured data is as compared to unstructured data. So what is structured data?
That is data that could be contained in tables, for instance. So we're not getting really specific here, but think of the kinds of things that would be in a table, or you could say a spreadsheet. Usually it's a lot of numbers and how one thing relates to another thing.
So this is going to be obvious to all of you who are true advanced listeners here, but when Garrett says things contained in tables, he's not really talking about like the table that is in front of us in the studio. He's talking about the table like in the spreadsheet he noted there. So the way we were talking about tables when we were talking about tabulating tabular models, those tables like that. So basically, you're saying spreadsheets. I think data sets, lists of numbers. And it goes on to sort of explain why LTMs are so significant. It says, since many enterprises rely on structured data, often contained in spreadsheets to run their operations, LTMs could have an immediate use for many organizations. Like, before we go on into our next reading here, let's just briefly talk about some of the types of structured data that we can think of companies using. The first one that jumps to my mind is, and many of our listeners who are in the white-collar professional world will be familiar with, customer resource management systems, which are basically databases that contain information about all of your customers. So giant data sets about all of your customers. Can you think of other examples?
Well, you stole the first one that came to my mind.
Ha-ha!
All the information about your sales, your customers, what they're like. Obviously, you could have the same thing on the other side. Data about your employees. If you have a very large corporation, being able to place them in exactly the right positions to succeed, this could help with that as well.
The other one I thought about was inventory.
Yeah.
Right, where you have lists and lists of all the things you have. That can get very complicated if you're inventorying, for example, parts of different machines, things like that. So there's all kinds of ways that different businesses will have huge data sets. And that's basically the information that these LTMs are going to be working with. So
yeah, I would say the one other thing that comes to my mind, and obviously we're talking about these enterprises and corporate uses here. I wonder if it'd be useful in research situations as well.
Oh, I think absolutely. But where the limitation is in terms of the public using it is I think it is basically useful if you have a gigantic data set.
Yeah.
Like you'll hear people talk about big data, right? And data mining, terms like that, which basically means you have this massive spreadsheet that's like hundreds of thousands of entries, and it's hard to filter it to find specific information, right? So that's what the mining is. They're looking for specific information or patterns or things like that. This seems much more akin to that than a chatbot that you're talking to online. Nonetheless, we come now to this question, what does Fundamental do? Bear in mind here, Fundamental was the name of the company. So we're not looking at what any one thing fundamentally does. We're looking at what the company does. We're going to explore that in our second reading. Let's do that with Campbell now.
What does Fundamental do? San Francisco-based Fundamental, founded by CEO Jeremy Frankel, has made a public LTM model, Nexus, which will allow organizations to tap into that data to make predictions and forecasts. The data types in the mix could include customer behavior, information from various sensors, or myriad other things. But again, it's all locked up in rows and columns. If you look at what LLMs have done with unstructured data, it's been amazing. But it only covers 20% of overall data, Frankel says. That's the opportunity we're going after. It's potentially a big deal, because Frankel says that roughly 80% of enterprise data used by companies to make predictions and decisions is structured, meaning that it's on private servers in columns and rows, not really usable by LLMs. You can try things with LLMs, but they're not really adapted to do it, Frankel says. They don't work well with the structured data. They can work with, say, 100,000 rows, but a bank might have tens of billions of rows of data, which can overwhelm the model. Fundamental's aim is the ability to make better predictions using that structured data.
Okay, so it tells us, first of all, where Fundamental is.
In a place that's not very surprising, San Francisco.
Why are you not surprised by that?
Well, it's Northern California, that area right around Silicon Valley where all these tech startups come from.
There you go. It's close to Silicon Valley. So nonetheless, it was founded by this CEO, Jeremy Frankel. And basically, the company has made a public LTM model, which is called Nexus, right? Nexus will allow organizations to tap into that data to make predictions and forecasts. So what are you doing with this thing then? What would you guess? Sounds like you're like a Google for data sets.
Yeah, I imagine it's able to do things that currently there are a lot of programs that try to do, but it's able to work with maybe more data and do it even faster.
I don't know about you. Do you have a lot of experience working with databases?
I absolutely do not.
See, neither do I. We have databases here at Studio Classroom.
Yeah.
Because, you know, wonder of wonders, if you order a magazine, we manage to get it to you every month, right?
Right.
So we got to know where to send it. We got to remember from month to month. So there's definitely databases.
Right. I think on a personal level, the biggest database I was working with was all the responses, the RSVPs when I got married.
Oh,
yeah. Trying to figure out like seating and all the information with that.
So what I will say is we have two experiences that are probably relevant. I have one and we share the other one. The first one I can think of is I had some experience with a program called MySQL.
Okay.
That is actually for databases. It's like for database management. It's spelled like SQL. The SQL part, right? It's fairly common software. But what I learned when I was learning about this thing was how to structure questions for the database, like how to organize my search. The problem being I was organizing the search. And so my first guess here is that the AI takes over part of that responsibility because it's like I have to have an idea of what I'm looking for and what I'm trying to find before searching specifically for that thing. And there's a good chance I'm missing a lot when I do that, right? Because some of these databases obviously get large. The second one I can think of is there's actually a very structured way that Studio Classroom writers use vocabulary words in lessons. Mm-hmm. We use, you know, for example, the 7,000 word list.
Yep.
And if you try to get sort of an LLM to use that spreadsheet of 7,000 words, it struggles to do it.
It does.
And I think that illustrates much of what they are kind of saying here. Now, I could have these ideas wrong. I might be using like slightly incorrect metaphors or whatever, but that's how I kind of am thinking about it, having read this. So basically, it tells us the data types in the mix could include customer behavior, information from various sensors, or myriad other things. Myriad, of course, means like a wide range, incredibly wide range of other things. But again, it's all locked up in rows and columns. So the idea there being, again, there's all of this information there, but if you don't know what you're looking for, you're not going to find it. And so the AI may be able to contribute to that greatly, sort of noticing trends and making you aware of them, things like that. I could see that being very helpful. It then goes on to give us a quote. What's the quote say, Garrett?
It says, if you look at what LLMs have done with unstructured data, it's been amazing. But it only covers 20% of overall data. That's the opportunity we're going after.
Okay, so there, praise of the LLMs and the unstructured data. I assume this is largely sort of that chatbot function they fulfill, right? Like if we talk to it, it talks back. and it makes sense.
Yeah, I think what you were saying was really key. Sometimes you don't know exactly what you're looking for, and that's what the LLM does great, is able to predict and figure out what exactly you mean. If the LTMs are able to do something similar, that could be very useful.
Yeah, but, you know, Grok, for example, which is an AI coming from xAI, which is trained, you know, at least a lot of it is trained on Twitter, mm-hmm. right? People's tweets on Twitter. Twitter is not anywhere near all of the information in the world. And that's what they're kind of suggesting here, right? All of those text messages, all the newspaper articles, things like that, that are being processed by these large language models, really the information in the world, only 20% of it is written out in language text.
I don't know how they calculate that, but that's interesting.
Eh, we'll just trust them. Listeners, if you don't trust them, let us know why not. But in the meantime, we'll just trust them. They're basically saying that 80% of the information there, actually enterprise data, so again, company data, is actually like in these spreadsheets.
Sure.
Right? That kind of makes sense. When I was doing graduate school, I worked with a data set that came from the government, and it was just thousands and thousands of entries. So I believe that there is much information hidden in this. And this is where LLMs sort of struggle. As we get into the last paragraph, it says you can try things with LLMs, but they're not really adapted to it. They don't work well with the structured data. They can work with, say, 100,000 rows, but a bank might have tens of billions of rows of data, which overwhelm the model. So effectively there, the data set is just too big to be dealt with in sort of a language way. So Fundamental has a goal, and what is it?
Well,
the very last line there.
We will see. It's the ability to make better predictions with structured data. Maybe they will change the way you do your job.
We'll find out though, right?
Yeah. Because
this is maybe a thing that will become more a part of daily life, as, or at least work life, as we move forward. Now, listeners, that brings us to the end of this lesson, but it doesn't bring us to the end of our newsworthy clips for August. We're going to do another one tomorrow, but our time is up for today. So, goodbye until next time. I'm Simon.
I'm Garrett.
See you later.
Goodbye.